potatoes. I just sing right there like a green tomato.
Here I'm waiting, palpitating with all that meat.
And no potato.
Welcome back to Travel Bags with Anita and Friends. You know, Doctor, all of this talk about food is making me hungry, but I think I'm hungry all the time anyway, so talk about food just adds to that.
Well, it does. I mean, food is one of the great things. You go to a location, people look forward to, you know, what's the dish in this area, what's the best thing, and, you know, what the local people eating, and what's the area known for.
Well, you're right about that, and I think when you travel, you really should be adventurous and do that. I can't tell you how many times I've heard people say, oh, no, I don't want to try, you know, something that's different from what I eat at home because I'm afraid I might get sick. It may disagree with me. You know, I don't want to be sick on my vacation. And I completely understand that because you don't want to be sick on your vacation, especially when it comes to eating, because there are so many great things you can try that are similar to home. But I agree with you. I think trying those things that are the national dishes are really great things. I mean, can you imagine someone coming to the U.S. and not trying a hamburger?
That's true. As a matter of fact, when a lot of people come from other countries in the world, one of the things they want to try is a hamburger. A lot of people who come here from Mexico, one of the dishes they want to try is a hamburger. And people don't, you know, they take it for granted here, but that's something that people look forward to from all places around the world is a U.S. hamburger.
That's true. That's true. And add the hot dog to that, apple pie. So it's the same thing. I mean, someone coming here might say, well, you know, I don't know if I want to eat something as sweet as the apple pies that they have in the States, but how can you come to the U.S. and not try what we're known for, like apple pie?
Well, I agree. Apple pie is a great dish with great variety of fresh apples. And these are things that people look at that we may take for granted, but have gone through a revolution. I mean, actually a revolution with a lot of these great dishes. Hamburgers have become a simple dish to now become elevated to a meal in of themselves in the variety of places in the North Georgia area and in Atlanta and nationally that become renowned for their hamburgers.
Well, you're right about that. I mean, our favorite place to go for dinner or lunch, Holman and Finch down in Atlanta, they are definitely nationally known and internationally known, too, you know, for their hamburgers. And for a while, you had to go at a certain time, and they announced when it was time for the hamburgers to come out. I mean, it was quite a production, which now you can get them anytime. But, I mean, that just goes to show you, like you're saying, the hamburger has been elevated. It's not just, you know, beef patty, but you know, between buns there, it has definitely been elevated to something really special.
It has, from the type of meat in it to something with no meat at all. Veggie burgers have also become very, very popular, and that's something now that people who don't want to eat meat have a nice option for these days.
Well, I don't know if I call that our national hamburger, but we'll let those folks who are vegetarians have that and call it that. Now, what about Jamaica? Now, let's switch gears a little bit. Let's go to some of these other countries and talk about their national dishes, because I know that there's a dish in Jamaica that you love, and you actually do a really good job of making this dish. You're not even Jamaican.
That's true. The dish is known as ackee and saltfish. And the saltfish is actually a cod, and cod is one of the fishes that was taken and transported around the world because it could be preserved in salt. And you would ask, well, why do you have to use saltfish or codfish, salted codfish, when you're in an island? And it's just what people have gotten used to eating. But ackee itself is a plant that you, it's actually a flower. And the flower stays closed until a certain time of the fall when the flower opens. When the flower opens, it is inedible. But prior to that, when the flower is closed, the plant is actually poisonous. But when it opens up, it becomes very edible and very tasty. It looks like scrambled eggs.
Yeah,
and
it does.
And the unusual thing about ackee, the combination of the salt and the buttery and oily flavor of the ackee with the great flavor of the codfish or salted codfish work very well. And this is also mixed with curries and a few other spices to make it the great dish. But the fact a lot of people don't realize that although it's the national dish of Jamaica, just because it's a national dish doesn't mean the ingredients are from that area. Salt cod actually came from Europe, and ackee is actually from West Africa. So
although
it's a national dish, the origins of that dish are from other places.
Well, you know, it really just shows you the influence on food of all the different countries that colonized some of the islands there, because you're absolutely right about that. I mean, cod, when you think about where cod comes from, I mean, it's traditionally known from coming from the northern seas, right?
Northern seas, European area, but it was a fish that could be preserved, and it could be preserved with salt, so that's why it found its way around the world. And but again, people take what they have locally or something that they like. They may adapt a foreign dish or a foreign ingredient and make it their own. The good example is tomatoes. Tomatoes are not from Italy, but you can't think of Italian dish these days without tomatoes.
Well, Oh, that's true.
They think of Ireland with potatoes. Potatoes are from Peru, but you can't think of an Irish dish these days without potatoes.
Well, you know, the potato in Ireland has such a, you know, unique history there that it's almost hard to separate those two. I mean, you just think of Irish potatoes. I mean, you just assume that that's going to be the case. And you're absolutely right about Italy. I mean, they have that whole festival with, you know, tomatoes and different things that they do with tomatoes. When you think about pizzas, you think about pasta, spaghetti.
Right.
I mean, it's hard to think about Italy and not think about tomatoes. And they're not originally from there.
Right, and you go to a place like Barbados, they talk about flying fish and, you know, cocoa, which is basically a type of bread or Johnny cake that they have. And you see these simple breads all around the world where people have any type of grain, they'll make some type of bread from. And flying fish are a great tasty fish that they usually serve fried, and it's a nice tasty fish, and these two make a great combination.
Well, you know, I have not had the cocoa bread there. Is it similar to, like, fry bread that you see in so many cultures?
It is. It's basically a fried bread, Johnny cake type bread that they make. Most times it's usually fried with it. And again, it's used, to, you know, supplement a meal. It's your source of carbohydrate. And that's a nice source. Bulgogi in Korea is another national dish primarily made with beef. And again, beef is actually the favorite food in Korea. If they have to pick the most favorite food they like, no question, beef wins out.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, and it's beef that's marinated in soy, marinated in ginger, a little bit of sugar, and sesame oil. And what they use to tenderize it, they use the an Asian pear. And there's enzymes in the pear that help break down the beef and give it its flavor. You can do the same thing, but using papaya. It will serve to break and tenderize meat.
That sounds really good. You know, I always think of the Asian cultures, Japan, as liking a lot of beef. So they like a lot of beef there too, right?
Well, they do. It's actually one of the most favorite dishes. And a lot of times people, it's kind of, you know, if you look at it historically, the Japanese culture was tremendously affected by the Korean culture. As a matter of fact, a lot of the Japanese culture came from Korea. It was a culture that came from mainland, you know, Asia over to the Japanese islands. And a lot of Korean culture came from Korea.
That's interesting. It just shows you how, you know, when people travel, they take their culture with them, and culture and food really are paired together. And speaking of that, Dr. Bill, I mean, really, how does culture and food, how do those two go together hand in hand?
Well, people eat what they like. People eat what's locally around them. And usually with the food comes a story or a myth or religions. Religions come with the food. And you can actually separate different food groups by their religions. And you can see where the different religious influences came into the with the people, because with the food comes a religious tradition, and that intermixes quite well, and that goes, and some of that carries with the food. And so when you're actually looking at food, you're also looking at actually a mixture of the different religions around the world that come with these dishes, because with a dish comes a certain religious eating ritual, and that's tied into their religions.
Well, you know, I also like to think, too, that especially when you go back in time, back years and years and years ago, when people were really moving around a lot, or people were really sort of adjusting their eating and foods and things like that to where they lived, I would think the climate and things like that also played a part in what foods were eaten in those areas and how those foods were prepared.
Well, it is. Whether you're coastal people, whether you're plains people, or whether you're mountain people, all those have a big influence. And whether or not you're, you know, the type of animals, all that changes with the area that you're at and the surroundings around you. And from that, a different culture arises with picking the primary animal to eat or the primary grain to eat. I mean, most of our societies these days are mostly agricultural, so they're pretty much agriculturally based. But if you look deep, you see some of the hunting gathering societies around that. And the type of animals people eat is a function of where they're at. And what animal could be best adapted to that area? Sometimes they were local, but a lot of times there are animals brought in from the invasion of another culture.
Well, you know, it's so fascinating. And it's, you know, it's really fascinating to think about, you know, culture and food like that and how the national dishes are still being eaten today. So thanks, Dr. Bill. That was great. Very informative. We'll be back in a few minutes.
Can't be beat, my sugar.